the best way to sell your car by far.
Power Talk, the leadership dialogue.
And in conversation with Dr. Judy Dlamini, Chancellor of the University of the Witwatersrand. Chancellor means she's the figurehead. She's not running the curriculum. She's not deciding what's being lectured. But she is that moral voice over Wits University. And we're listening to that ethical code that governs her life in this leadership dialogue. Candley Sky says, Lerato, you're in conversation with a powerful woman. Please, please greet her for me. Greetings, Dr. Judy. Bonnie L says, Dr. Judy, you are accomplished yet so poised. You are kind and you are humble. You. I can attest to that. You're a successful entrepreneur. You're prominent in academia. You lead insightful gender discussions. I'm listening to your interview with Lerato. I want to be like you when I grow up. I think I'm on the right track.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. Thanks for being kind.
So, Dr. Judy, we've been talking about intersectionality and how life affects people differently, even though the facts are the same. Mm. And what's different is privilege, it's access to education, it's geography, it's race, it's all sorts of things. And yet, the irony is, there are moments where the privilege can't help you. Mm. The education can't help you. Mm. And I'm thinking of something you've alluded to, the gender-based violence that South Africans have become victims to. The rape statistics that are horrendous and shocking. The fact that, you know, it's not really advisable for a woman to just walk a kilometer down the road because anything can happen to her. And anything can happen to her whether she's living in Sandton or she's living in an informal settlement. Mm. Crime becomes the equalizer of the South African experience. And if ever there was an indictment on a country, I think this is it.
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, you go overseas and you actually walk long distances, you jog, you come back home. I'm scared to use the incline that I have outside my house. I yearn to do it, but I'm scared, you know. I remember when I lived in Houghton, I took the walk, you know, after work, and I had to run for my life because they wanted to kidnap me. I don't know. And you know, when you actually walking, there's nothing. You haven't got a phone. Yeah. So that's the story of our lives, because someone would say, but we jog in Sandton. But there's always context. When that happened to me, I decided I'll never again walk in this country alone. And it's unfortunate, you know. You judge people, society, by the way they respect and treat their women. And we are not showing up well. And it's not just an indictment on one sector of the population. It's an indictment on all leaders. Business, faith organization leaders, politicians, everyone. It also boils down to families. We raising boys that become the abusers. So what can we collectively do together to change that? What are we doing about the perpetrators of violence? Are we offering enough in terms of rehabilitation? Because it has to be a multi-pronged, transdisciplinary, intersectional approach if we are to win the battle against crime against women.
So I'm not a psychologist. I'm just a South African woman trying to keep her head above water, just as you are, but you're a medical professional. And I've often wondered, what is it that has led to the highest of crime statistics, especially regarding femicide, gender-based violence and the like? What is it about South Africa and its makeup that's led us to devaluing life? You know, my colleagues in Britain used to say to me, you know, anywhere else you'll be mugged for a cell phone. But in South Africa, you'll be killed for a cell phone, the devaluing of life. And then the brutalizing of a woman before you devalue her life. What do you think is at the heart of that kind of anger, malice, menace, hatred towards women and then towards humanity as a whole?
We hate ourselves because we survived a very violent apartheid system. And we didn't deal with the wounds, in my view, the way we should have. We, you know, as a child, I was telling you that there was European and non-European. Mm. And as a child, you're asking yourself, I'm in Africa, why this? Mm. And why am I less? Mm. So there was indignation of black South Africans, the majority. But that trauma didn't only happen to blacks, because the whole society was engulfed in this life that is treated differently just because of the way that you were born. It was violent. In the township, you would have the Caspers. It was a crime to be black. Yeah. Black women, even worse. So I think that is where the devaluation of life comes from. That is where, especially when it comes to women, you know, when it comes to humanity, when you are violated for being who you are, one of the ways you deal with it in your mind is for looking for someone who's less than you in your mm-hmm. mind. When a boy is born anywhere in the world, including this country, it's like a boy has more value. Mm. When a girl is born, it's like, try again for a boy.
Yes.
So when you enter the world as a girl, you are a mistake, you know? And if your mother has four girls, oh my goodness, will you try again? When it's three boys, it's not such a big thing to try again for a girl. Mm. So it's a combination of all those things that inform who we are today.
So the coming together of a violent state security apparatus, violent and brutal. Mm. I lived 17 years of my life in apartheid. Mm. I know what you're talking about. Militarization. Mm. Then it's the patriarchy that values the boy child over the girl child. Then it's the polarization of race that devalues black people. Yeah. It's the poverty that makes people in such despair, survival. Yeah. They could kill just to survive. And everything else in between. Okay. We're in conversation with Dr. Judy Dlamini. Good morning. In newsmaking headlines at this